Buying a home is a big step for most people. Buying a home for the very first time is a very big step for most people. While you can buy a house without making a big down payment, it really helps the process of repaying a mortgage if a pile of cash is handed over at the time of sale. The state of Oregon recently joined other states in offering a first-time homebuyer savings account program so people in the market for a home can get set up to make deductions from each paycheck to salt money away for a down payment and other costs. Let's get some descriptions about the first-time homebuyer savings account program in Oregon from Rich Hoover, who's a public information officer at the Oregon Department of Revenue. Thanks for joining us, Rich.
Oh, you bet, Jeffrey. Thanks for having me on.
So I noticed the acronym here, FTHSAs. These seem to be catching on in several parts of the country. How did Oregon get into the game?
Well, this is something that the legislature last year passed, and they just figured they want to help Oregonians be able to buy, you know, homes, and this is just another way of doing it.
Is it a revenue thing for Oregon? I mean, this is the revenue department. Does Oregon make anything off this or provide interest for that matter either?
No, not at all. These are separate accounts that folks open up on themselves at any financial institution that offers the accounts. And it allows them to deposit annually either $5,000 or $10,000 if they file jointly from their income. And they can also deduct deposits and earnings that they make from that, as long as it doesn't go over the cap.
All right. So the cap is $5,000 or $10,000?
Per year.
Per year. Okay.
So per year, up to $50,000 total.
Okay, up to $50,000, which is not a bad down payment. Is that the general design, down payment, closing costs, things like that?
Right. With the funds can be used for those down payment, closing costs, realtor fees, appraiser costs, you know, a lot of those different fees that you get, credit report fees, title fees, that usually come at the closing part of the event when you buy a house.
So, Rich, how you mentioned going to a financial institution. So how does the process get started for anybody who wants to set up a first-time homebuyer savings account?
Well, that'd be the first call they make is to their financial institution and find out if they offer it. If they don't, they can request that they, you know, start up the program, and then they can have that opportunity to, you know, open that account. Financial institutions are also learning about this, so it may be slow at first, and you may find that your financial institution doesn't currently offer them, but, you know, if you inquire and they're aware of the program, then it's, you know, entirely possible they'd be willing to set this up.
So it sounds like a bit of a slow rollout as financial institutions get used to the program and what's involved.
Right.
And what sorts of things are involved, and what kinds of things does the financial institution have to do other than set up the account?
They can just contact us for all the information that they need, and this program right now is set up to be running through December of 2026. So when you do find an institution that has the accounts, you can open one anytime up to that year.
Is that just a sunset date chosen by the legislature when it passed the initial legislation?
Right. Right. And, you know, and it's likely that they'll relook at the program, find out how many people used it. You know, maybe that's some criteria they might use to decide whether they're going to continue it or not.
All right. So a couple of things for eligibility here. I assume you have to be an Oregon resident and the purchased home has to be in Oregon, too.
Right. Right. And we have a whole list of frequently asked questions for this particular program on our website. And, you know, just other things that this account, the account rules involved is that, you know, people have asked, you know, if I have an account and I want to move the funds into a separate accounts for me and my spouse, can you do that? And yes, you are, but there are some things that you have to do first. You know, you have to make sure you close an account first before you open another one. So, you know, questions like that people come up with, you know, are usually answered by those facts. And here's something that a lot of people don't know is someone else who's not affiliated with you can contribute to your account as well. You don't get to write the money off, you know, as a deduction, but still other people can put money into that account for you. If you have relatives or something like that want to help you out, then that's allowed.
Okay, so they can decide to put some deposits into that account.
Right. Right.
So it can receive deposits then. I mean, can you put money from an existing account into the first-time homebuyer savings account?
Well, you can, but I don't know. I'd have to check the really details of the rules. I don't know if something that's already exists in an account and you put it in one of these accounts, I don't know if that would end up being a deduction on your current tax year, though. So that's something that you might have to call if you wanted to do that and get specific direction from our personal tax unit.
All right, but there is some tax benefit here, it sounds like, because if you are having the deductions made from your paycheck, then you're going to end up with less taxable income at the end of the year, it would seem.
Right, right. You know, and like we say, you know, if you're single filing, it's up to $5,000, and if you're filing jointly, it's up to $10,000. So it kind of have an effect for, you know, a number of people.
Mm-hmm. And so is there any bottom limit to how much you can have taken out of a paycheck to go into the first-time homebuyer savings account?
No, not at all. You know, it's as little as you can spare up to those maximum amounts.
Rich Hoover's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a public information officer for the Oregon Department of Revenue, telling us about Oregon's first-time homebuyers savings account system now in operation. You can join the conversation with your questions and comments at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. If you're listening on the California side and thinking, well, we must have something like this, I check. There are first-time homebuyer loans in the state of California with some good terms, but at this point, no first-time homebuyer savings account on the California side. So you have to set up the account with the financial institution, and then what will they handle the paperwork from there, or do you have to put some bits of paperwork in front of your employer as well?
Yes, you'll need to make sure that you know that you have the correct paperwork to put your deposit and whatnot in there, and I'm sure that savings institutions may have different types of paperwork depending on their policies and those types of things. But, you know, for I'm sure all will be quite limited for, you know, kind of a really nice benefit. It's kind of a motivation probably for some people to get started in doing that. You know, they thought a lot about saving for a new house, but maybe they think they just, you know, their things are too tight and they really can't do it. And here's an opportunity to go ahead and put that money aside and be able to then subtract that, you know, deduct that from your tax return.
I know you don't work at the legislature, but was the adoption of this in any way related to the desire to get more people into housing in Oregon and the housing shortage?
You know, Jeffrey, I don't know. You're right. I'm not privy to that information, but you know, it's entirely possible. It's an element. But I really don't know what the driving force was behind it.
All right. So, and are there some income limitations, either upper or lower, on who can get involved in a first-time home buyer savings account?
Well, there are. There is an upper limitation, and it starts at about $104,000 if you're single, $149,000 for joint filers. The amount that you can subtract is reduced by that. There's a table that's used to figure the percentages. So it just doesn't mean that if you're single and you make, you know, over 104, that means you can't participate. You can, but it'll be at a reduced level, the amount that you can subtract.
You mean the more money you make, the less you can put into the first-time home buyer savings account?
Well, you can put up to the limit still in the account, uh-huh, but you won't be able to subtract the total amount from your return.
Okay. So there's this, so a lower limit per year, then, you're saying?
Well, the account won't change. The amount that you can put into the account won't change, mm-hmm, but the amount will be reduced by a percentage that you can write off, that you can deduct from your taxes.
Okay, this is so people don't reduce their taxable income to a lower level, it sounds like.
Well, it's just figuring that the people that are in higher income brackets aren't as in need of this type of assistance having one of these accounts, as opposed to people who may be in lower income brackets.
Is there any other source of income that can get funneled into the first-time homebuyer savings account? Is it just earned income, or are there other things involved here?
Well, as I've mentioned before, you can have someone else, you know, put a donation in and whatnot. But other than that, it's any, you know, it's the income you'd want to use, the income that would normally go on to your tax return as earned income. So that's where you would want to take it from and use it for this purpose.
And are the first-time home buyer savings accounts transferable? Can you take them from one financial institution to another?
You can. You can. You can do that, but you have to make sure that you close your first account and then open the second account. You can't have two accounts open at the same time. So you can certainly do that, and you know, because maybe one other institution offers a better interest rate or something like that. So that's perfectly allowable.
Okay, so they are portable. They can import money from other people. How about the exporting? If you want to, if you decide you need the funds for something else, have an emergency in your life or something, what are the rules on that?
There are. Some exceptions to that. If you decide to do that, then you are going to incur a penalty of some sort, depending on the situation. But if you remove the funds and don't use them, say you're going to want to pay for college or something like that, then you're going to have to report that as income in the year in which you withdraw however much that you take out.
Oh boy! So does that result in some new tax form or something that shows up at the end of the year and like you have to report this?
Well, it'll just be you'll have to add it back to your income for that year, and so that you know you'll have essentially have lost your benefit when you wrote it off the first time, when you deducted it the first time. So we try to encourage people not to do that, but you know we understand that you know emergencies occur, and sometimes you need that saved money for something else, and that's just the way things go.
So, Rich, does the Department of Revenue have to do much to make the first-time home buyer savings account system operate, or are you pretty much free and clear?
No, man, and we won't know how many people decide to use it until after this next year when they file their taxes at this same time in 2020, and that'll tell us, because they don't have to sign up with us. They just need to sign up with their institution, and we just need to know that the institution is offering the accounts. And then when people submit their returns, we'll find out, you know, how popular it is and how many people are taking advantage.
All right. Were there any projections on how many people might take advantage of the first-time home buyer savings account program?
No, there weren't. You know, nobody really, I guess, asked for that research. But we're all interested in how many people will take advantage.
Now, we had talked about this obviously as a first-time home buying thing, but you can use this to buy a home if you've owned one before. Is that right?
Oh, sure, sure. The requirement is just that you haven't purchased or owned a home either individually or jointly, if you're a couple, in the 3 years prior to the date of your planned purchase of a home. So that's all it takes. You can have owned five homes before, but as long as you haven't owned one in the 3 years prior to the one you're planning on purchasing, then you can participate in the program.
So, all right, so you can participate in the program if there's been a gap between last home, this home. Now, what happens if you get the money set aside and then you can't find a home or for whatever reason just don't buy one?
Well, you have to, the program gives you 10 years to use the funds. If after that 10-year period you don't use the funds, then you won't incur a penalty. But if you withdraw those funds and use them for some other purpose, then you're going to have to add them back into your income statement.
Okay, so that's when you end up paying it on your taxes. Are there any penalties for misuse of the program?
Well, there are. There's a 5% penalty there's a 5% penalty on the funds if you withdraw from the account. But there are some exceptions to that. Let me caveat that. The penalty won't be imposed on any funds that if you withdraw it, if a person has passed away or somebody has filed for protection under U.S. bankruptcy law, or they've lost a function of any portion of their body that permanently incapacitates them from performing work of a gainful occupation. So there are some considerations that they've put into the law that allow people to do withdrawal without a penalty.
Is there some federal legislation that made first-time home buyer savings accounts become eligible? I mean, I know it's not just Oregon that is getting into the system.
No, and you know, I'm not aware, Jeffrey, of any federal legislation, but I am aware that there's about, I don't know, six or seven states that also offer this, six or seven other states besides Oregon that do offer this program. It seems like it's becoming more popular as it gains traction.
And so again, so it's $5,000 per year from your paycheck, $10,000 if you file a joint return. So if you're filing a joint return, do you and your spouse have a single account? Do you each have one? How does that work?
You can have separate accounts. Let me see here. That's something I'm not... Right. It says that, like one of our questions was, what if I have a joint first-time savings account? I want to move the funds into separate accounts for me and my spouse, and you're allowed to transfer funds in any homebuyer account to any other without reporting that as income. So you still can have separate accounts for the two, yes.
Okay. And as we said before, there is these are not interest-bearing accounts? Or does that depend?
No, they can be.
They can be.
They
so that's up to the financial institution?
Yep, correct.
Okay. And but the state of Oregon, so does the state doesn't lose money, doesn't make money on this?
No. It's kind of a revenue neutral situation. If you deposit only $4,000 in a year, let's say, but you get interest of $50, but you can take that interest and add it to your deduction on your return as long as it doesn't go over the $5,000 amount or the $10,000 amount for the joint filers.
Okay, and again, the total, though, can get up to $50,000. That is...
Over a 10-year period.
Over a 10-year period, okay.
Right.
But nothing above that. It just caps out at that $50,000.
Right.
All right. So this obviously, if you're getting deductions from your paycheck, it's not showing up as the same sort of income. Does federal tax law find the room for this? You're not going to get dinged on federal taxes for money you didn't actually get to take home, right?
Well, you will have to pay federal tax on the deposits and earnings. They're exempt from state taxes up the Adelma, but they're still subject to federal taxes. So that is something that you're not going to get relief from.
All right. So when did the program go online? When did people were they first able to start getting accounts?
Just at the first of the year.
Okay. And any numbers so far on how many people have signed up?
No, and that's the unfortunate part. I'd like to know that number, but we won't until people send in the returns for the following year. Because that's when they will indicate on the form that they have one of these accounts and this is how much money went into it. So we won't know that until about this time next year or so.
All right, so next year's tax returns is what will tell you what's been happening in this first
right.
year of home.
Right,
okay.
They're only able to open them up here on the 1st of January, and so there will be people throughout 2019 that will open them up and put money in it. And then in 2020, when they file their 19 return, is when we'll see that activity.
Okay, $5,000 a year single, $10,000 a year filing jointly, up to $50,000 total into the Oregon first-time homebuyer savings accounts. Now available across Oregon. Check with your own financial institution to see if that institution offers it, and if not, check with another one. Rich Hoover is a public information officer for the Oregon Department of Revenue, which oversees the first-time homebuyers savings account program in the state of Oregon. Rich, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
You're more than welcome, Jeffrey. I enjoyed it.